chance to see if a generic drug is available. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert talked with Dr. Mike Swindle of Carle's Accountable Care Initiative about the process for becoming a generic drug, how widely they are distributed.
The FDA has very strict standards once a medicine comes off patent, who they'll let make it and how it's made and where it's made and et cetera, et cetera. So they're pretty strict about it. They have to have a certain amount of bioavailability that has to be constant throughout all the batching. So that's the business part of it, or the part for the consumer really, is generics are much, much cheaper. Once the patents come off these medicines, the prices go from, you know, $150 or $200 a month to $3 or $4 a month because the patent is off and anybody can make them as long as they make them safely. It can save them significant chunks of money, and now you get a generic and it's $3 or $4. And a lot of the big stores, not only here but throughout the country, Walmarts, Myers, those places.
We had situations where the physician may not be aware of it or hadn't thought to look into it.
It's a nice reminder for the patient to bring up with their physician. We've certainly taken it out within our physician group as well. We've put it out in the community. We've certainly tried to let the pharmacy folks know. Most prescriptions now, when they come out of an electronic medical record, which is what Carle uses, it automatically defaults to generic, and you almost have to go in there actively and click on that you want a branded medicine. But the pharmacy may still call you and say, are you sure that we can't use a generic medicine for this person? A lot of the most common medicines, and again, you go back to the problems that Americans face, diabetes, blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart stuff. Many of the medicines in those categories have gone generic over the last few years. Another one is getting ready to go generic sometime this spring or summer called Plavix. That's a huge cost savings to both the institution and to the patient if they can switch to generics and they're well controlled, be it whatever problem.
Are there others that are just on the cusp of the patent running out so you can...
The big one that I think of right now is Plavix off the top of my head. I'm sure the pharmacist can rattle those off a lot faster than I can, but Plavix is the next big one to go to generic, and I don't know the exact date of that, but that's a medicine that's commonly used for people who are at risk or who have had prior stroke, and so again, that's a huge savings for the patient. So there may be a little bit of variability based on generics versus branded, but it's not big enough that the FDA worries about. The FDA approves all these, so it has to go through an approval process. They have to make sure that the company's making it correctly and in a clean factory. There are actually some examples now of medicines that are generic and have been for a few years, and some of the factories have been shut down, and I don't know if that's part of the story, but some of our frequently used medicines within the hospital outpatient setting, Toradol is a good example. It's very difficult to get right now. There are some other medicines because the generic manufacturers didn't do the right thing, didn't have the cleanest factories, whatever. So they really clamp down on that. They make sure that it's safe before they let it go generic, and they make sure the generic manufacturers do the right job making them.
Are there certain drugs that patients have expressed to you or hear other physicians talk about that are really frustrated that the patent hasn't expired and not able to get a generic?
Not specific drugs, but you know, certainly you hear people voice dissatisfaction with the cost of medicines. I mean, you know, you can get somebody who's on four or five or six different medicines, and if they're on branded medicines, the medicines could easily be $50 or $60 a piece per month if the patient has a really high copay. So there's $300 or $400 a month that somebody has to spend on medicines. If you can switch all or most of those to generics, now you've got $4 a month times six pills instead of $50 a month times six pills. But any health plan is going to look at this for their patients. And it really boils down to cost and safety. If you can provide the same care that's safe, but it's cost you less and it costs the patient less, it basically lets you keep your premiums lower, hopefully, over the long run. So that's really what you're looking for, is something that you can provide the same level of care, safe to the patient, but at a lower cost and just as efficient. So I think all the health plans are looking at this.
That's Carle physician Mike Swindle. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert. The Carle system is among those across the country encouraging patients to use generic prescriptions when available. Carle and Health Alliance operate a website with information for patients about generic alternatives. It's askforgenerics.org. Microsoft has introduced a new tablet computer to compete with the iPad. Putting out a computer is a bit of an unusual move for Microsoft. It was mostly known for software and its Windows operating system. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports.
At Milk Studios in Hollywood, a photo studio for the stars, Microsoft engineers revealed their snazzy new tablet, which they call Surface. The ultra-slim Surface has a built-in kickstand to allow users to stand it upright and a keyboard that's embedded into the cover and attaches magnetically. It's designed to work with a new Windows 8 operating system like other full-size laptop and desktop computers. Other popular tablets like the iPad and the Kindle Fire run mobile operating systems. Microsoft is taking a big risk by competing against Apple's wildly successful iPad, says Todd Bishop, the editor of GeekWire.com.
That is one thing Microsoft is really trying to do here with this release, is to say, hey, look at this awesome piece of hardware that we've got. We've created it end-to-end. We've thought about the experience. You know, it sounds like a luxury car when the kickstand snaps back in.
But Bishop says Microsoft can only compete with the iPad if the Surface is easy to use.
If it's more cumbersome, if it's a long learning curve for people, which it very well could be, it's going to be a challenge for them.
And they didn't say how much it's going to cost.
No pricing information.
Although Microsoft still wouldn't reveal when Surface will be available along with Windows 8, insiders are guessing this fall. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
We're used to cities regulating taxi cabs and protecting hapless tourists by setting a maximum fare. In several cities, including Houston and Miami, limousines and town cars have to charge a minimum rate that's more expensive than cab fare. Portland, Oregon also requires this, and as Dina Pritchett reports, limo companies there are crying foul.
With just over 500,000 people in the city itself, Portland is not really a major metropolis. When you look at the downtown streets, like this one, you see more bikes and buses than taxis and town cars. So when Mike Porter wanted to drum up business for his town car company, he did what a lot of businesses do, took out a Groupon ad.
We thought it was a great idea to get our name out there to the metro area. It was a huge success. We got over 600 and some rides based off this one promotion.
But he also got something he didn't expect.
2 days later, we got a letter from the city of Portland that we were fined over $600,000 because we had broken the rule that we had to charge at least $50 or 35% higher than what taxis charge.
Porter did not have to pay the fine in the end. He just refunded all of the coupons. But he thinks the rule is unfair and, along with a Portland area limo company, is trying to overturn it.
We're filing a lawsuit because it's unconstitutional for the city of Portland to say to us that we have to charge the citizen more money because they want to protect one class of business.
The city of Portland won't comment on the lawsuit. But cab driver Red Diamond, who's been working in Portland for about 20 years, says there's a reason for the regulations. Taxis aren't just businesses. They're part of the city's transportation system.
We get drunks off the road. We provide emergency roadside response. And we are, in many cases, the primary source of mobility for people who otherwise don't drive themselves.
And cabs are always available because of the city regulations.
They're required by law to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, citywide. Taxis are required by law to maintain 10% of their fleet in wheelchair access vehicles. Taxis are also required to service all trips, including short trips that are otherwise economic washouts for the drivers.
But short trips and late-night shifts come at a cost. A recent study from Portland's Revenue Bureau found that drivers net well below minimum wage. But the study pointed to other factors as well: a glut of drivers, limited permits, and high payments back to the parent companies. Some cab drivers, like David Aguilar, think that restrictions on limos and town cars aren't the solution.
If McDonald's decides to sell a hamburger for 75 cents, Burger King cannot go over there and sue them because they're selling their hamburgers for $2, or tell the city to enforce McDonald's to sell their hamburger for $2, the same as Burger King.
But cab drivers like Red Diamond say that these rules are a necessary part of protecting the taxi industry. And if you don't have them in place, he says, it's harder to serve low-fare riders.
That means, like, elderly people that have to go out and get groceries. That means people that have to just travel short distances to a medical appointment. And if the town cars run roughshod over this industry, they take only the airport runs, and they leave us to kind of pick up the breadcrumbs, as it were. That's not a good model for serving the needs of the community.
This does not protect the citizen at all. This only protects taxi cab companies and their profit.
Again, town car owner Mike Porter.
What we're trying to do is just be able to advertise our services at a discounted rate to be able to show people, hey, you have options other than just taxis.
The city of Portland has until July 24th to respond to the complaint. For NPR News, I'm Dina Pritchup in Portland, Oregon.
Support for WILL comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the standard all-wheel drive Subaru Outback with an EPA highway rating of 29 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at their showroom on Route 45 in Savoy or at SubaruofChampaign.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 19th of June, 2012. Juneteenth, also known as Freedom Day or Emancipation Day. It was on this day, 1865, Galveston, Texas, Union soldiers arrived, and General Gordon read the Emancipation Proclamation. It's the birthday of the mathematician Blaise Pascal, born in Clermont-Ferrand, France, 1623. By the time he was 19, he'd perfected the first mechanical calculator. In the field of physics, he discovered that air has weight and proved that vacuums are possible in nature. In mathematics, he founded the theory of probabilities and developed an early form of integral calculus. He also invented the syringe and the hydraulic press. But he was torn between his scientific life and his spiritual life. And when he was 23, he felt the need to withdraw from the world, devote his life to God. He returned to religion after a mystical conversion, entered an abbey in 1655, lived as a hermit, and produced his great work of religious philosophy, the Pensées. It's the birthday of Greil Marcus, born San Francisco, 1945, author of Music Criticism and editor of A New Literary History of America. And it's the birthday of the novelist Salman Rushdie, born in Bombay, 1947, who, when he was 40, published a novel, The Satanic Verses, banned in India, burned throughout the Muslim world. The Ayatollah Khomeini announced that Rushdie should be sentenced to death for blasphemy, and Rushdie had to go into hiding until the death sentence was finally lifted in 1998. This September, Rushdie's memoir about the Ayatollah's fatwa entitled Joseph Anton comes out. Joseph Anton was the pseudonym that he used when he was in hiding, a combination of the names of Joseph Conrad and Anton Chekhov. Here's a poem for today by Joe Paddock, entitled Out Here. Small towns out on the prairie are mostly clean and bright now, maybe turned a notch or two too tight. Panting dogs no longer run free out here, and drunks no longer stagger and fall along Main Street. Their singing is not so much missed, but Maine could use a bit more song. Life and death, the great stories, continue here. Love is